Well, I appreciate that singing here tonight and the instruments playing and the special music and all, and I pretty appreciate that and thank the Lord for that. Could I share a little something on the lighter side as you turn to Psalm 139? Could you do that? Psalm 139. I don't know if you've been involved with a computer and sending email messages. It sure is a fast way to communicate, isn't it, if you've done that. But if you send email addresses and emails to friends or family, whoever, you'll know that if one letter is out of place, it will not go. It will not send. You'll probably get a email back that says unable to send it. Even an underline, if it's not there, and it's supposed to be, it won't be delivered. Well, anyway, here's a little incident about a wrong email address. A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. They planned to stay at the same motel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules, so the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday with his wife flying down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel and there was a computer in the room, so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address and without realizing the error, sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere down in Houston, Texas, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife." Subject, "I've arrived." Date, April 4th, 2012. "I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I just arrived and have been checked in. I seen that everything has prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to see you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Oh. Oh. So watch your emails, folks, when you send them. Well, just one final little word here. Our four brothers left home for college, and they became successful doctors and lawyers and prospered. Some years later, they chatted after dinner together, and they discussed the gifts that were they able to give their elderly mother, who lived far away in another city. The first said, "I had a big house built for Mama." The second said, "I had a $100,000 theater built in the house." The third said, "I had my Mercedes dealer deliver a SL600 to her." The fourth said, "You know how Mama loved reading the Bible, and you know she can't read anymore because she can't see very well. So I met this preacher who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 preachers 12 years to teach him. I had to pledge to contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years to the church, but it was worth it. Mama just had to name the chapter and verse, and the parrot will recite it." The other brothers were impressed. After the holidays, Mom sent out her thank you notes. She wrote, "Milton, the house you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. Thanks anyway. Marvin, I am too old to travel. I stay home. I have groceries delivered, so I never use the Mercedes. The thought was good. Thanks. Michael, you gave me an expensive theater with Dolby sound. It could hold 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing, and I'm nearly blind. I never use it. Thank you for the gesture just the same. Dearest Melvin, you were the only son to have the good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was delicious. Thank you." Well, we've been looking into Psalm 139. And this morning we, I believe, found out in the first six verses how well God knows us completely, thoroughly. And how close can we get to God? He's here right now. Wherever you go, he's present. Now, I didn't mention this morning, we know that there's a place in heaven somewhere at the throne of God where he manifests himself. But from that place, he's able to be everywhere. Now, tonight, could I just share a couple more questions? Maybe one just very briefly. But the first is this. How carefully has God made you? How carefully has God made you? You know, in verses 13 to 18, I believe we read about the sanctity of human life. And we get a glimpse into the womb of an expectant mother. And it is amazing. I referred to the fact that you were a prescription baby. Here's what I meant by that. God has a custom design for every individual, including you and including me. And he's equipped each of us for specific achievement and purposes. He has fashioned our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. Notice verses 13 to 18, and I'll be honest and say this maybe even first. I don't know if you've had anyone to give a detailed description of these words in these verses. You may or may not have. And I realize that it can get pretty deep and depth, but I've researched a lot of places for it, the different resources, and tried to come up with a reasonable interpretation, an explanation of these verses. But let's just read them first, 13 through 18, verse 13. "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am wonderfully and, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now, would you permit me just to try to interpret the meaning of some of these words in these verses? They are amazing to me. Verse 13 starts out, "For thou, God and no other," not nature, not Mother Nature, God. Now, the next word, possessed. "For thou hast possessed." Possessed has the meaning of to form, to originate. And all life originated with God. And then we see the word reigns, R-E-I-N-S. You see it there, verse 13? "For thou hast possessed my reins." Now that word reins there literally is the word kidneys. And in ancient times, the kidneys were symbolic of all vital organs, like the kidneys, the heart, the lungs, the liver. That word is symbolic of those organs. And so he's talking about the inward parts. Now, as we continue to look into the womb, we skip down to verse, we'll get verse 14 is always something that is wonderful. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." And that's what we are, fearfully and wonderfully made. So he's talking about the making of a baby here, of a person. Now verse 15. Verse 13 continues. Another word there, covered. "But thou hast possessed," that formed, originated, "my reins," that is the inward parts. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Covered. That's an amazing word there. If you study about that, it means to weave together, to knit together. It's as if the psalmist is saying, the placing of all the organs and all the various parts of our body are together, well ordered and fashioned. Weaving the bones, weaving the tissues, weaving the organs of the fetal unborn, all under God's control and guardianship. And it's amazing. And you know what I found in my study? That all of the future characteristics of that child, of you and me many years ago, all the future characteristics of the child are programmed. Color of skin, eyes, hair, shape of the facial features, the natural ability that we would have. And all that in mind would be physically and mentally contained in germ form in a fertilized egg. Fearfully and marvelously are we made. Now, I have some figures here, and I'm not sure the truth of them, but there's several trillion cells thousands of nerve fibers, thousands of miles of vessels carrying blood around the body, and many, many bones and joints and ligaments and muscles. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I'm going to come to an application here, so just be patient. Now, notice the personal pronouns here in verses 15 to 17. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee. You know, the eyes of the Lord were upon you and me before we were ever born. When I was made in the secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Now, David goes a little farther in his, I believe, Holy Spirit-guided writing of this psalm. See that word substance in verse 15? My substance was not hid from thee. That substance there means the substantial part of man's being, the frame, the bony substance, the skeleton. Our skeletons are not hid from God. When we were made in secret, the verse continues, when I was made in secret. Think of it. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The lowest parts of the earth there is an expression of a protected place, a concealed place, a safe place. Can you picture that? The expectant mother? It's a reference to the womb, a place of protection. But you know what? The abortionist wants to get into that place of protection to destroy it. How sad. How opposed to God, anti-God is that? Curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Curiously wrought. It means skillfully wrought. And here's something that's really amazing. I'll give you an illustration, and it's just it is a true illustration from medical surgeon, student studying from medical surgery. It has the idea, literally, it means variegated, multicolored piece of cloth. It's like that. It's the idea of an embroidered piece of tapestry. A fine needlepoint. And it seems to reveal the concept of veins and arteries embroidered like variegated threads within the body. Now, a radio preacher, he was talking to a young medical student studying to be a surgeon. And this medical student commented on the beautiful color scheme God has placed within our inner bodies. This medical student said that there is definite colors in our various organs, that the veins and arteries almost make the inner network appear variegated in color. That amazing. And this student smiled when the radio preacher informed him that David was using some words similar to that. God's eyes have seen your unformed substance. Verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Now the word substance here is not the same as in verse 15, I understand, but it means that is rolled together as a ball, wrapped and unformed, an embryonic mass. Unperfect, unformed. Reference to the embryo or the fetus. Verse 16. And in my book, all my members were written. Just pause there. You know, it would seem that God has a book on every child, every one of his creations, creatures. In my study, I've recognized that in thy book, all my members are written, you know, the members of the body. It's a blueprint for life, charted at the moment of conception. And God begins to fashion the members of the body before they are even recognized. He is fashioning them daily in fetal form. And see that word continuance, which in continuance were fashioned? That word continuance means day, daily. A period of 24 hours. That's amazing, isn't it? Our Heavenly Father makes out our days even before we're born. Verse 16 says, when as yet there was none of them. Verse 17 and 18. We referred to the thoughts of God this morning, that he understands our thoughts afar off. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now, isn't that interesting why he uses that, why I'm awake, when I'm awake? Well, it seems to have this idea. He's emphasizing the closeness of God to him during those 9 months prior to birth. And after he is born, the picture doesn't change. He is still with the Lord. When I awake, I am still with thee. Sustainer, protector, and guide. Now, all that is said, and I trust you kind of get a little bit idea of the picture here. It's just so intricate. It's just so, to me, unfathomable again, incomprehensible, but true. Now, here's the application I want to share on that. We may get to the last question tonight. We'll see. But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let me apply this then to you, okay? And preach to myself about it as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Would you agree that we are fearfully and wonderfully made? Amen. Would you believe, of course, that God gave you that body that you have? Yes, a mind, a heart, spirits. With that in mind, verse 19 says, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which ye have of God. That's where it come from, God. Yeah. And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your, what's the next word? body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, this great God who has fearfully and wonderfully made us, we're His by creation. And of course, we're His child by salvation. But we belong to God. And this body is of His doing, of His making. And so I thought, what could be an application? What's our response to this? Well, verse 20 says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. We're to glorify God, aren't we? We're to bring honor to Him, to magnify Him, to bring glory to Him. And so I thought, well, you know, we need to be careful what we put into this body. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You've known that, but just a reminder. And so this body of ours is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be careful what we put into our body and spirit. They're God's. What we put on our body. Does our apparel glorify God? We need to be careful what our eyes look upon, what our ears hear, what our mouths speak. You know, in a real sense, you and I are the representation of God. Of our Creator. We represent Him. What kind of representing impression are you making? In your home? On the job perhaps? In the neighborhood? Among friends and all? Bodies. Created marvelously. By God. And by the way, just come to my mind, thoughts here. You know, you've had children now. Oh, by the way, you were given special skills and abilities. And I trust that your parents affirmed them in your life and encouraged the good parts and warned about the bad things. And you know, your children, God has given special gifts and abilities, your grandchildren. And they're not all going to be good athletes. They're not all going to excel in reading or in mathematics or whatever. Some are going to be good at art and drawing. Well, then affirm them in it, encourage them in it. Some are going to be good playing football or athletics. Well, then encourage them in that. Affirm them in that. Be encouraging in those things. That's all part of God making them. And the abilities and skills He's given them, the mindset He's given, the mentality and physicalness and all. Okay. Well, let's go back to Psalm 139. So I've tried to share a little something here about how carefully God has made you. Now, this may seem like stretching the point a little, but how much will God protect you? Now, the context here are the enemies of God. The enemies. Isn't that unusual why He would bring that out now in the closing part of his Psalm 139? For example, look at verse 19. Look what he's asking the Lord to do. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. And then he begins to give us several terms that describe the wicked. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Oh, my. Massacres, killings. Oh. For they speak against thee wickedly. That's one of the descriptions of wicked people. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. That's the second description of the enemies of God. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. You know, there are people and persons and groups that hate God. That's what our world of society is. It's an anti-God, isn't it? An anti-Christ world in which we live. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? So there are those that are opposing God. Verse 22, I hate them with perfect hatred. You know, I heard years ago, if you love right, you'll hate right. And this is a perfect hatred, a righteous indignation against the enemies of God. And I believe, his enemies. Yes, because they are, because notice what he says in verse 22. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Wow. Then he closes with these two verses that some of you maybe have even memorized. Can we read those two verses together? Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, begins with the word, search me. Can we read that together? Ready? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Would you let me close with James chapter 4, a couple verses, and then we're through. James chapter 4. David identified with his God. David was a righteous man. He knew God was holy and pure and righteous, and I believe he wanted to be that also. And so he identifies with God against those enemies, and he hates them with perfect hatred. And he considers them his enemies. Now, you know what? You and I, here in the 20th century, have a threefold enemy. Threefold. James chapter 4, list them for us here. First is the world, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You've read that before. You've probably seen that, but isn't that interesting? An enemy, the world system. Anti-God, anti-Christ. We got to be careful of getting too friendly with this world's philosophies and beliefs. Then I think the second enemy that you and I have is found in the word lust. Lust. Verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even of your lusts that war in your members? The word lust there, that refers to the sin nature, the flesh. Verse 2 refers to it again. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And so the second enemy we have is self. Self. The flesh. The world, the flesh. And of course, the obvious one, the devil. Verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Just pause there. You know who the embodiment of pride was? Satan. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The world, the flesh, the devil. Three enemies. They want to turn us away from God. So we need to overcome them, right? We need to combat them. We need to oppose them. So how do we do that? Well, we got three instructions to follow. It's right here in James chapter 4. First, submit to God. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's how to get victory over the devil, isn't it? Well, you can't submit to two people at the same time, so it's either the God or the enemy. And so here he suggests we submit to God. It's the idea of surrender. Just surrender. That's one great way to resist the enemy. Surrender to God. Submit to God. You know what? Submission is an act of the will, and it says, not my will, but thine be done. Submit to God. Our minds, our hearts, our wills. That's how to overcome this threefold enemy. But there's another way. Draw near to God. Submit to God, draw near to God, verse 8. Well, actually, yeah, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye double-minded. So, draw near to God. I think one of the best ways here, it talks about cleansing, it talks about cleanse your hands, ye sinners. I believe that drawing near to God involves confession. Confession areas where self gets in control. And he wants to control our lives, and he wants to be, wants to lead and guide our lives, oh, self. And so we draw near to God. We confess our sins and claim God's cleansing. Remember that verse we just read together in Psalm 139, 23 and 24? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in ways of righteousness, paths of righteousness, the way everlasting. And so the threefold enemy meets, we meet with him every day, the world, the devil, the flesh. And they'll face us again when we leave this place and tomorrow. And we need to get victory, so we submit to God. Lord, here's my life. I submit to you. Take control. Draw near to God. We confess our sins and shortcomings. Claim his cleansing. And then finally, humble yourselves before God. Submit to God. Draw near to God. Humble yourselves before God. Verse 9 and 10. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God hates the sin of pride. And many times he will correct us in various ways until we humble ourselves. So if we obey these instructions, there's wonderful benefits. If you draw near to God, then he will draw near to you. and cleanse you and forgive you. Well, wonderful Psalm 139. And I trust that something said today will remind you of God's presence, God's knowledge of you, how you're wonderfully and carefully made, and our enemies we can get victory on. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know where this evening service and the singing, the special music, the words from God, from your word, Lord, but I don't know where the people are coming from in their personal lives and relationship with you, but you know, and are acquainted with all our ways. And we thank thee that you're present, and especially the fact that New Testament believers, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, your divine presence. And you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank thee, Lord, for your creative hand in our lives. And we marvel at your making of these bodies, minds, and spirits and wills of ours. And so in response, we want to recognize that we need to think right and to hear things right and to look upon the right things and just to be conscious that these bodies belong to you. Thank you for this time together now. In Jesus' name, amen.